that about right? All right then. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 3, if you find the place and you're able to, then we'll stand and read a verse or two and go from there. All right? All right. Notice, if you will, please. Verse number 3, chapter 3. All right, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there have been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, and thou refusest to be ashamed. Look in verse number 9. And the Lord said unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She's gone upon every high mountain, and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. Notice in verse number 9. And it came to pass that through the lightness of her whoredom that she divided the land, and that she committed adultery with stones and stocks. Worship and see false religion, that's what that is. And yet for all of this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Then in verse 12, he summons her to return. In verse 13, acknowledge your iniquity. In verse 21, as the voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding, and behold, we will come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, and her flocks and her herds and her sons and her daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, and we have our fathers and our youth, since the father from our youth, and even in the days have we obeyed, not obeyed the voice of the Lord God. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bless, I pray, this congregation, be with those that could not be. Touch those that are sick, may you restore their health. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach out of the text verse in verse number 3. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, and refusest to be ashamed. I want to preach entitled a sermon, a little old short sermon here this morning, You Hard-Headed Whore. That's what God's saying to the nation. You know, we used to be proud and glad that we were one nation under God. Now they fought tooth and toenail to get that off the money. It don't matter if it's printed on your money or not, if it's not on your heart. Let me say to you that, if you will, they can take it away from everywhere, but if he's in your heart, if he lives in your heart, and you've been born again, and you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ lives in your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that Israel, what a sad commentary for the people of God to be termed. But he's terming it there. Uses this prophet to be able to stand up. How would you like to preach to a bunch of backsliders like Israel and Judah? And how would you like to them to see the hand of God? I can tell you, they didn't really like these preachers getting up and saying what thus saith the Lord. They're not much liking it in the day and hour that we're living in among the Baptist church. I remember, you know, that it wasn't many moons ago, and that they were talking about, you know, you'd turn on Fox News, and they'd be on Fox News talking about the good Muslim and the bad Muslim. And you know the difference between a good Muslim and a bad Muslim? There's not. They're both headed straight to hell. Muslim doctrine is a damnable doctrine, and it will send you straight to a devil's hell. Salvation's in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, Allah's never been able to save anybody. You can find his tomb, and his old carcass is rotted and still in the tomb. There's only one that's got an empty tomb, and his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, the world we live in now has got hundreds of thousands and thousands that are lined up in the streets cussing against Israel, the apple of God's eye, and that are trying to threaten, all right, Mr. President, we're not going to vote for you if you don't stop that war that Israel's raging against Gaza and those Muslim people that are over there. And let me tell you right now, is they've got him. They've got that old fossil. I was going to say gas bag, but I wanted to call him a fart, because that's what he is. And everybody connected with him. We've got him now demonstrating up and down. And now this thing's become political, so he's wanting to go ahead and give in to it. How'd you like to be the president that reprimands the leader of Israel and tell him you're going to have to back off now? I guarantee you right now, I hope you'll pray for the Israeli leader, buddy. He's made his mind up. We're tired of this thing just going and spurting and getting healed a little bit, slightly. We're going to get red and eliminate this enemy that we have against the nation of Israel. Now you'll find that all those young people are standing out there in the streets, and every day and at every opportunity that they get, and they're wanting to try to put pressure upon our country to be able to tell Israel to stop, and that they're out of place. No, they're not out of place. They know how to fight a war. You got an enemy out there against your country, get rid of it. That's how you do that. Let me say to you that we live in a world that, if you hadn't noticed it or not, we live in a world that's full of chaos, full of mayhem, full of pandemonium. It's a world of tumult. It's an uproar, et cetera, et cetera. We live in a world that's restless, without hope, and without God. I want to tell you something. The Bible said that God's not the author of confusion. Over in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14, about verse number 33, as you begin to look at that, God's the author of peace. We live in a world that's wanting to have peace without the Prince of Peace. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're just never going to be able to have it. That's the reason why the charismatic movement, that's their alias, charismatic movement, but that's why they're busy trying to promise people peace, peace, when there is no peace, so that they can get in your pocketbook and get your money. Let me tell you right up front is that you'll find that God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace, as he said in all the churches, so forth and so on. Now, I want to tell you something, is that you're going to find out is that in the day and hour that we're living in, is that you find very few people that'll stand by the stuff and preach the unadulterated word of the Lord up and down the road of life. And I'm talking about even among Baptist churches. You'll find out is that the world somehow or another wants to give you the promise of something they can't give you, and that is peace, because Jesus Christ can give you peace that'll pass all understanding. But the world will send you a lie and to cause you to be doomed and to cause you to be damned if they have their way. Do you know somebody rightly said one time is that the devil would rather start a split in a Bible preaching church than to start 5 beer joints in a community? That's the truth, isn't it? That's the truth. I don't know how many he'd like to start, but I guarantee you he'd rather start a split in any Baptist church somehow or another. He'd rather have somebody sowing discord and griping and complaining and talking against God and the Bible and good and right and moral and decent. And make no mistake about it, I'm going to tell you, friend, is that the Bible said, the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of God, warned them and said, of your own selves there are going to be rising up people that's going to be sowing a devilment and a detriment in the church of the living God. I got to say to you that, if you will, that when we begin to look into this, is that you'll find is that God mentions in this chapter something about a bed. Now, you know, God intended over there in the Psalm, don't turn there, but God intended that whenever you lay down your head and pillow your put your head on your pillow in your bed, that it's a place of rest. It's a place to be able to replenish and strengthen and replenish yourself for the following day and to be able to do whatever your responsibility of duty is. Let me say to you is that it's a place that people ought to be able to lay down, thank God for the prosperity of the day and the goodness of God and the watch care of God. And yet you'll find that here it was the wickedness of man trying to lay down, not be ashamed of what he had done, what he was doing, how he was doing it. They were running up and down the road with every false religion you could mention. And God reprimanded and said, you know what's the matter with you? You've got the forehead of a whore. What a sad thing that would be. I tell you what you do is, the next time you're talking with somebody, and I don't care if it's kin to you or not, and they're just going to go ahead and be contrary to the mind of God, give them that passage and say, here's what God said about you. You're a hard-headed whore. You might want to duck if, you know, they're a lot bigger than you are and all that. I've had people that's going to whip me before, and I said, okay, hold on before you do. Just so you know, whenever you're done and you're big enough to do it, God's still going to be right and you're still going to be wrong. It don't make any difference how much muscle you put behind it, behind the hustle. What matters is what you've done in the sight of God according to the word of the Lord. That's all that's going to ever matter. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that we live in a world that we lie down in shame, and then we rise up and continue the same sins that we've always been involved in. You'll find there's no regard for God, there's no repentance, and as a result of that, you're going to find out these are people that lay down, and look what their bed covering in verse 25 was. It was confusion. No wonder we're in a mess. You go to bed with confusion, you cover up with confusion, and you're going to get up more confused than you was when you went to bed. I'll tell you something, instead of confusion, we ought to have covering by the blood. I will tell you, what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want to tell you, this world is cold, it's callous, it's corrupt, and lost without hope, without God. And let me tell you, you'd better not listen to this religious world that we're living in, because the Bible said over in Isaiah 48, that the world is like the troubled sea that cannot rest. Did you ever notice when you go down, it's just stirring up mud, it's stirring up sand, it's foaming and raging, going right back out. And the Bible said the wicked are like that. They can never have peace, they can never have rest. And the reason being is because of the fact they're trying to go to bed and sleep away their shame while they cover with confusion, and that's the kind of world that we're living in. I want to say to you that, if you will, the only hope that you and I have in this world is right here in my hand, and that's the Holy Blessed Bible, the Word of God, and as a result of that, you can find that we ought to confess that we've sinned against God, we've sinned from our fathers and our youths, we've cried out against God, the Bible, and good and right and moral and decent. You ever notice that? And here's what I believe. I believe every time there's been a school shooting that it's been influenced by the Democratic Party, and that they've supplied the gun, the ammunition, and sick them on these so they could finally scream that what we need to get rid of all of our guns in this country. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Whenever all the guns in America are taken, it'll make nobody but our enemies happy. It's our only means of defense. Somebody's going to say you one of these days because they're stupid. And they're going to say, well, do you realize that, no, that in the millennium, the Bible said they're going to take all those weapons and burn them, and they're going to beat them into plowshares. Somebody's going to tell you that, and they're going to show you that in the Bible. And you're going to wonder what to say to them. Hold the phone a minute. I'm fixing to tell you. What you have to tell a bunch of knuckleheads like that are empty-headed idiots. You getting this? You have to tell them, hey, Mr. or Miss Idiot, you've got the forehead of a whore. We are not in the millennium. When the 1,000 years takes place, friend, is that then the Lord will do that? Until then, we've got weapons of war that we'll have until Jesus comes again. See, in this lesson that we're looking at, and you know, I remember years ago, and every now and again I try to look up and just refresh the stats and the statistics and things that take place. But I remember whenever the FBI they ran a survey, and here's what they did. Rifles, they said, had killed 252 that year. And as a result of that, by the time it began to grow, 374 by the next year, no telling what it is now. I tried to look it up, and either I couldn't find it or something happened. I don't know if one of them communists like Bernie Sanders got rid of it, but whatever that it was. Anyhow, there was 374 that had been killed by rifles. That's long guns, if you please. Knives, there were 1,544 that had been killed. Now, can you imagine? Only 252 by a rifle, 1,544 by knives. The next year, it was 1,604. And then the blunt objects, being bludgeoned to death, 437. By the next year, 472. And then by bare hands or feet, 625 versus 656. Now, let me tell you, is that you're going to find that men have been murderers at heart when they have no fear of God since Cain and Abel. And I'm going to tell you right up front, nobody's ever going to tell you the truth of the matter. What they're trying to do is the enemy would like to disarm us and leave us helpless in the day and hour of which we're living in. You remember back whenever in Portland, where's that, Portland, Oregon? Whenever they was burning that and they was throwing them bricks. And you know they had pallets of bricks in various different places where they were going to throw those demonstrations supplied by the government of the United States. Not all the government, but the government that was in control, namely the Democratic Party. And that camel, what's that camel's name, this vice president? Big old ugly looking thing. Laughs uncontrollably. I want to say to you that, if you will, that whenever we look into it, you know the reason why, you know what you can do them. You can tell them biblically whenever they have denied the word of the Lord and gone contrary to the mind of God, you're just a hard-headed whore. That's all you are. I want to say to you, I love saying that. You can't say that many times in a Baptist church. That's a Bible thing. See? In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it. When you've got no guns, you've got no defense. And let me tell you right now, a criminal will always have a gun. They're not having to fill out for nothing. They're going to steal a gun somewhere. File the number off of it. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, that whenever you begin to look into the Bible, that is that you'll find out is that they're always accusing Russia. That's a major enemy. Let me tell you another one. China, that we're buying from tooth and toenail, is a major enemy. I don't know where this was, the suit here's made, but yeah, I can promise you right now it wasn't in America. It's from, oh, this is French. It's Jacques Pinet. And, but make no mistake about it that you'll find they're always talking about Russia interfered with the election back whenever Mr. Trump had won. Remember that? And I asked, how did they interfere? Was it by exposing Hillary as a lying, cheating, conniving, sorry, good-for-nothing, low-life, anti-American hussy? We already knew that. Was it because of the fact that they were going to tell a bunch of satanic devils, the Democratic Party, there in the Democratic Party that are baby killers? Can you imagine that the priority of the Democratic Party is to murder another baby? They talk about your health and your well-being, but they're ready to kill every baby that's inside a mother that wants to have it killed. In this lesson that you're looking at, I want to say to you is that while Hillary was busy getting rid of 33,000 incriminating emails against herself, you'll find out is that our enemies on every hand no doubt are laughing and clapping, and now we've got people that's as bad and worse than Hillary ever dreamed to be, and I still can't stand her. When they throw her into hell, I'm looking for the Lord to have to throw her in several times because she's so sorry the devil don't even want her. You can quote me on that if you like. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, is that one of these days is that this world's getting right for him. There's going to be the man of sin, the Bible calls him, that'll be coming on the scene. he's going to seem like he's such a smart man that he's got an answer for all this chaotic stuff that's going on. There's a passage over there in the book of Psalm. It's in chapter number 127, if I remember right, over in Psalms 127. And it's in about verse number, chapter 127, about verse number 5. I want to say to you that, if you will, that in the day we live in, the only God-fearing youth you're going to find are in our church or in a church like ours. Now, there are not very many of them. I appreciate you young men and you young ladies that love God and the Bible and what's good and right and moral and decent. I appreciate you and your faithfulness to God. But in the world, for the most part, we've got a bunch of rebels running the streets that have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, or decent. I want to tell you something. When it comes down to facing the enemy, we don't have anybody to do it. Look, if you will, Psalms 127, verse 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, talking about children. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Our very life, our very labor, our very language. We live in a world. This week we had a 18-wheeler that broke down over on the across the road from where we are. And I automatically know that they're going to come over to the house. Wasn't long, the phone rang, and Caitlin was telling me that that truck that broke down, somebody was beating on the door. So like the good grandpa that I am, I have my gun in my pocket. I go over there, and what can I do? You speak Spanish? You speak Spanish? No Spanish. Lay here, and he went to sign language. I don't speak sign language either. I know a few words, but sign language, but you can't use them in church. I don't use them. I've just had them used on me before. I said all that in this business there, so he runs back across the highway, comes back over there with his phone. He's got TikTok. He's writing it in Spanish and hitting the button. It's still in Spanish, so you can redo that. And about three or four times of that. I need a hose. Okay, what kind of hose? Like on stocking for a lady? I mean, in my mind, is it stocking hose? Is it pantyhose? Is it some kind of fuel line? Or what? You know, like, and then he was doing like that, like he was watering. Oh, water hose. See. So. Anyhow, I went over and got him a water hose. I said, how long a hose you need? About that long. Well, I got a 25-foot. I brought that to him. Anyhow, the long and short of it was is that you'll find is that he was able to finally go over there and not fix his truck. And several hours later, they had one of those Love's mechanics that came up. And let me just say to you that, if you will, we live in a world of confusion that just can't communicate one with another. Not only that, but whenever you could communicate with the word of the Lord. You know, over there in Mexico, you can go over there and preach through an interpreter. And let me tell you, this place would not hold the people that would gather from those villages that are poor. And they would stand outside and look in through the windows. We don't have windows. But they've got windows in their little old buildings and little old benches without backs on them. And you could not hold the people. That's how many they show up to hear. Now, once you get a load of them here in the United States, they start playing soccer. I said all that to be able to say this. If you like to play soccer, that's fine. There's a lot of people like boring games. And I'm not against it whatsoever. And if you want to watch soccer, play soccer, involve in soccer, be bored out of your ever-loving mind with everybody that's trying to be friends you, then go ahead on. I said all that to say this, and I'm done. Is that we don't have anybody, verse number 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, talking about children. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Out of all the children that have been aborted that we could have had that would have stood in with the word of the Lord and the test of God. We don't even have enough people now to face the enemy and to be impressive anymore. We just don't. I got to tell you right now, you know the reason being, I'll tell you why, is because people went to bed with their shame, covered with their own confusion, and ignored the Bible, which is the word of the Lord. God help us to realize we have perverted our own way and our heads become harder than a whore. You know what that means, don't you? A whore doesn't care who knows what she's doing and how she's done it. Her head's hard as a rock. It's hard as an adamant. She's not going to give in. That's what God said about people that are God rejectors, Christ rejectors, and that invent their own ways of religion. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. And we pray that now you'd help us. I pray you build a hedge about the hearts and minds of these boys and girls that are here. Thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Now watch those that are sick. May you restore their health to them. We will say thank you in Jesus' name.